to AWARE. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to the AWARE Show. I am Lisa Garr, and it is such a true privilege and a pleasure to be here with you today. Thank you so much for joining me. And just because we get to have these great conversations in the middle of the afternoon in Los Angeles that inspire positive growth and change, and that's why you're here and that's why I'm here. So thank you. And if you want to check out my website, you can check out all the other days and other platforms that I broadcast on throughout the week at theawareshow.com. We have our shows on YouTube. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel because it's kind of making a vote for conscious media on YouTube. I'm kind of on a mission for them to understand what that is. So by voting, by just subscribing for free on my YouTube channel, it's very helpful. I'm on a mission there. Wow, what a great story that we have today. Now, if you are going through any excuses in your life right now, you're going to throw them out after 30 minutes if you listen to my guest today. Dr. Fujian Zane, she has an amazing, amazing story. She was at the age of 12. She was sent from Iran to a boarding school here in the U.S., and she basically created her own level of success here. She secured an apartment for herself, a job. She graduated high school. She put herself through college. And now she has become an amazingly widely acclaimed clinician. She's been on Dr. Phil. She has been on major media outlets. She has her own internet television show called Inner Voice. And she has a brand new book out called Life Reset, which we're going to talk about. But first, I want to have you share your story. Thank you so much for joining me, Dr. Zane.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Thank you for having me, Lisa. And hello to everyone who's listening.
Yes. So I love the fact that you have been through so many different challenges and you have overcome most of them. You really have. And it's been through deep work. Tell me a little bit about your childhood growing up.
Sure. I was born into my mother's fame. She was a radio celebrity, actually. So being in that mode, I didn't really have my mother a lot because she was busy and out there. Like, the people had her versus for me to have her. So I had a godmother who really was a godmother, God-sent mother, her cousin who really took care of me and brought a lot of unconditional love. And I got a lot of strength from my mother as a woman, as a female in Iran, which at that time you didn't get to be that successful. My parents got divorced when I was 5, and I lived with my mother until age 12. I went through some traumas, sexual abuse, and just kind of being abandoned in many levels. Mm-hmm. I didn't see my father at all. And then at age 12, I came to Scottsdale, Arizona. I went to Judson School. I was sent to the boarding school.
Now, did you come with somebody that you knew, your godmother, cousins?
No, just alone.
Alone.
Yeah, and then I graduated. Yeah.
Years old.
Yeah, and then I graduated at age 15. And I went to ASU at age 15. And the first time that I went back to ASU, they had given and sold my dorm to someone else. They were overbooked. So I had to go to Howard and Johnson. I don't even know if you guys remember Howard and Johnson Hotel. And age 15, they're like, you're 15. Yeah. You have to have a guardian. Well, I don't have it. And then I got an apartment at age 15. And they're like, well, you can't even sign a contract.
Right.
You're not 18.
Right.
And then I went to the bank and
All by yourself?
Yeah. Showed them this check that I brought from Iran, and I'm like, well, I need money. And they're like, well, who's your guardian? I'm like, I don't have any, and I'm just here. So they opened the bank account, and the things that you would never be able to do at this day and age, in a sense. And I went and got an apartment, and there was a gentleman with his mother who ran the apartment, and they were so sweet. They came with me to Kmart, and we got television and furniture, and they set me up, and I just started, going to the university. And then my...
Wait, you had a lot of miracles show up right there. A lot of them. A lot of people wanted to help you.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I think I created love for them because I received love a lot. So what I got also is it doesn't matter how many things you go through. The one thing that can pull you up is the essence of the nurturance of love around you.
But you didn't have cell phones. You weren't able to call home. What did you rely on for your self-reliance?
More than anything was trying to figure out the right decisions to survive. And
at 15.
Yeah, and to do the right things. I think that I got from my mother, like, do the right thing. And I think everybody knows what those right things are when they're kind of true to themselves, to their heart.
Really? You think most 14, 15-year-olds are making the right decisions these days?
Not necessarily the right decisions. I think they know what is right or wrong, and sometimes they choose the wrong purposely. But if you sit with them, they know what right or wrong is. I work a lot with teens at this time. They know which one it is that they're going to hide because they know it's not the right one. Mm. But they'll do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I think part of what it was a survival base. Mm-hmm. I was in a different country. I had to survive. I started working three jobs at age 17.
What did you do?
I did work at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. I worked at a cleaner's, mm-hmm. and then a host at a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked all day, and I went to the university and, tried to just do what I needed to do to be good and survive and create, the challenges that were in my life. I had to move forward.
Did you have brothers or sisters back in Iran?
I had Step, we've never lived together, mm-hmm. but we had a good relationship from far.
Mm-hmm. And these were from a second marriage from one of your parents?
From my parents, mm-hmm. yeah, from my father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so did you ever reconcile with your mother?
I think through therapy I did, but with her, I think it was difficult to talk to her at that time because she would go through a lot of remorse and she would go through a lot of defensiveness. And we had a lot of conversations. And then right now she has Alzheimer's. So I went to Iran and I saw her a couple of years. And it's funny, Lisa, after all those healing and therapy for myself and, going through anger and, all the expectations I had, suddenly, after she got her Alzheimer's, you see this purity in her that I suddenly forgave everything. It was an amazing experience.
Wow.
To be beside someone's complete just love and purity, and then you can touch that and all the anger and frustration and expectation can go away.
Was that all that you ever wanted from her?
Yeah.
Was that purity, really?
Yeah. And that connection.
Yeah.
And it's funny, when everything else went away from her brain, then suddenly her heart opened.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the sentences I keep using also with my model in the book is, when your mind is free, your heart gets filled with love.
And you finally got to have that relationship with her.
Yeah.
With her busy mind gone.
Yeah.
Wow, what an amazing story. And that's just the beginning.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I love how open you are in speaking with you. I see your heart, and it's beautiful.
You.
So you then went on to, when you were studying in university, you studied psychotherapy?
I studied nutrition and psychology, and then I decided, moved to Los Angeles, and I went into just corporate world management, and then I opened up my own flower shop and a flower business.
Wow.
Designing, yeah. We had the whole Rodeo. We had Beverly Hilton restaurants. We had all of the shops in Rodeo.
And by then you're like, what, 20?
Yeah, I was about 27.
That's amazing.
And I was married, and I, when I was about 17, I said to myself, by the time I'm 30, I'm going to be married, I'm going to own a home, and I'm going to have my own business. Mm. So around age 28, I had all. I had my business, I had my first home in Santa Monica area, and then I was married, and I wasn't happy at all. I wasn't fulfilled. I was constantly sad, and you know, I kept achieving, and it just, all the achievements just didn't mean anything. So I went to therapy. And from there, I also started going to a lot of the self-help seminars, like LifeSpring and Landmark and all of those. And side by side, I went to therapy to heal. And I started liking this field so much. Mm-hmm. Then I went back to graduate school, and I went and got my license for marriage and family therapy. Brilliant. And then I went back and got my PsyD in clinical psych. And this field has just not only healed me, it also allowed me to be an agent of healing for everyone else who, you know, who chose to be beside me. And I think it's been a gift, a passion that has come for me. And because I think I got both, where, you know, from the coaching world, you got the here and now, and then
yeah.
you got the world of the future.
That's a great combination.
Mm-hmm. And the psychotherapy, which goes and heals the past, I created whatever was best that I saw and I experienced out there into its own package, where I say, you know, I can go deep, but brief. So the bringing depth into brief therapy, really. And removing the obstacles of the past and living in the here and now and constantly intending and envisioning the future and moving forward.
That is the kind of the combination of the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Rather than just sitting and talking through talk therapy.
Yeah.
And then the life coaching is more of the taking action part of it. You combine the two.
Yeah. I experienced
real healing.
Yeah. Because, you know, with my own sexual abuse, I remember when I went to therapy, I felt more victimized. I did not feel straightened. I felt like, oh, my God, poor thing.
And rehashing all this?
Not only rehashing, but the message was, you know, oh, you poor thing. This will always scar you. And no, it wasn't. Yes, it did scar me at one point, and I needed to change the meaning I gave everything and release those and forgive and move on. And I got that also from the coaching world, where it's the moving on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I also worked a lot with deep therapy where, although it has amazing benefits, but we got to do a lot of catharsis, but not necessarily changing the meaning and healing what it was. So people went through catharsis and they felt a little bit better, but the meaning and the negative belief that they assigned to it kind of never
still
left.
There. Mm-hmm.
So this was a question that for me was I had to open this up. And that's how the model kind of got, the awareness integration model got created. We're pinpointing how is it that we can go through the trauma, release it, and release all of the meaning that we have associated to it, go through all the lifespan, different domains of life, clear all of it, and then with a clear mind, you create that heart of filled with love and then intend. Like you clear your mind and then intend consciously in what you want to create.
Have you ever noticed that this shows up in people's lives in specific ways where they're unable to have relationships or really hampers their finances? Is that where you see that people have the most challenge when they have unresolved emotional issues?
And I see people with the best intentions or learn skills, right? Like we constantly go through media, books, everything and learn skills from other people too.
Mm-hmm.
And then right at a point where we're trying to achieve or everything is fantastic, a part of us comes in and sabotages everything. So working a lot with addiction and working with people's depression
or
relationship
sabotage patterns, all of that winds up surfacing.
Yes.
I see.
So I was looking at how come the most intelligent people who were so successful at many level, there's one part of them that come and catches them. Or even working with addiction for 20 years, looking at this person really getting growing and moving forward, and then another part just comes in, you know.
Sideswipes it.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. That now what? So looking at those signs, it was like so much healing had to be done because there were pockets of negative energies and emotions and belief systems all pocketed somewhere, which they were unintegrated. You know, at a time of some sort of a trauma, they kind of like, we needed to survive, so we pushed them away. And they're leaking in one way or another to be known so they can be healed.
Fascinating. So now as this, as you, you know, are this self-made Iranian woman in the U.S. and you're working with through the real true work, how did you connect with Dr. Phil?
With a colleague, Kathleen, we started the My Therapy Net, which was one of the first online websites for online therapy. And at that time, the My Therapy Net got connected with Dr. Phil, and Dr. Phil also was creating his own model. So there were a lot of therapists who were getting taught that model.
His model,
model. Mm-hmm. And we also were part of the group that learned about his model, and then we went on his show. That's the story.
That's amazing. And so you have worked with his model and created a model yourself out of everything that you've learned, right?
Yes, everything from a very, very deep, deep therapy and psychodynamic to hypnosis for traumas, for EMDR, eye movement desensitization, and cognitive behavior, and EFT, and all the models that come out. I love to learn them so I can, you know, offer something new to my clients. And then at one point, it gets integrated inside of me because I'm using all these different ones with people.
Of course, yes.
So it seemed like the best of what was out there, of the ones which were emotionally based, the one that were body and physically based, the one that were emotionally and cognitively based, kind of bring them all together to clean up the past and then bring the coaching elements and the philosophical and spiritual aspect of it in order to create and envision who you want to be at any moment.
What would you say is your core strength, Dr. Zane?
My core strength is the ability at this point to be aware and consistently attempt to be on integrity with myself. I create values that I say I'm going to live by. And they're not rigid. I can always choose other values. And I constantly attempt, and I say constantly attempt.
I just wrote that.
Yeah, and I'm committed to living on integrity with those values. So if I say I don't want to lie, and I'm committed not to lie, at any point where, even if it's a white lie, whether I choose to say it or not, I choose and then look at what the impact is. Those values are being loving no matter what happens.
Do you still have shadows that lurk in your life that still show up? I'm going somewhere with this.
Yeah. I have a very addictive personality, even since childhood. Started with sucking my thumb and then, you know, having a smoking cigarette, and then it turned into food. I never got into drugs because I was scared. Knowing my personality, I knew I was going to be hooked. So that part of me is still a shadow where it shows where I attempt to go back, you know, go into a committed place with my body to always be clean and healthy and all of that. And then as I say, like, I'm talking to you and I'm giving you all of that, and then suddenly my left hand puts, you know, puts a sugary thing in my mouth. And I'm like, how split can I still be while I'm so much working on integrity and integration of myself?
Isn't this real, though? Isn't that real, though?
Yeah.
I mean, for most, you cannot be here with all that you've been through and be this perfect walking model of integrity. It is always a work in progress.
Yes.
I think that's where I'm going with this, is that no matter what we can do, is we can just keep being aware and doing our best with all that we've been through and all that we are, and own it. You seem to own it.
Yeah. I attempt very hard. I know that part of the biggest issue that I go, and I think humanity goes, and I work with a lot of people who go through is, you know, we're the it and we're nothing. So we go back between like, am I not good enough? Am I nothing? Am I, nobody likes me, da-da-da-da. And then we fall into the other part of the ego really, you know, getting really overpumped by itself. And this balance of going from, you know, pumped ego all the way to nothingness and then going back and forth and finding the balance, I think is another level of the duality that we're constantly, and I know I am, constantly working with.
Duality. I mean, that's real. That's what kind of life is, especially when you're a survivalist and that you're also a highly creative. There, I think duality exists in most of us. I see myself in you as well, where I am, you know, highly creative, yet I still have my dualities that I am aware of every day. And some days I'm better at it and some days I'm not. But most of the time I try to really just say, okay, yeah, just really own who I am and work with myself.
And what you just said is beautiful. Owning, being aware, owning it, being responsible for it, nurturing it, accepting it, and then yet if it's not working for me, to consistently, you know, shifting it to a workable habit or a workable thought or an emotion or an action.
So interesting. So now you have this great, now Life Reset is a totally different topic that we're talking about right now. Your book is called Life Reset. And it's about if you were to just hit the reset button on your life and have a reset every day. I've seen movies like this where you can actually reset every single day. Why the name of the book, Life Reset?
It was like Groundhog's Day.
Yeah, it's like Groundhog's Day. There's a lot of great, this was a Tom Cruise movie. I can't remember it. But anyway. What is the, why did you write the book about resetting your life every day?
I worked with this new model, awareness integration, and I decided I really, really want the world to be aware and integrated. Because I think that when we are aware, then we can choose our behaviors toward each other. When we're aware of the impact that we have upon each other, in relationships, in abuse that we do, we give, or it comes to us. In every decision we make, we impact our life and others. And when we're aware, responsible, and accountable for that, then in that way, I think that there's a wholesome that gets created in humanity. So for me, it was more like I can do this in my office with my clients, or I can bring it into a self-help book, which would have a bigger domain and more people would have access to it, because not everybody goes to therapy. And even though they didn't, not everybody comes to me. So to be able to have that out. So this, the book is actually a lot of good exercises that teaches you the skill. You have it. People come to me and I give them the skill. But they don't need to be dependent on me. I want them to have the skill that they could utilize it at any point. So there's specific skills that are given, and we go through a different domain of life, such as your relationships with people, with acquaintances, relationship with your intimate, you know, husband or wife, children, even sexuality, money, God, death, any relationship we have with the world. We have a set of belief system and emotions and behavior. And I think that people are not necessarily distinguishing between their thoughts, emotions, and behaviors or their impact. And to have that skill, and I got that skill more from meditative, from yoga, from mindfulness. So if we can bring those together in being aware at every moment of distinguishing between these three, when something doesn't work the way we want it, we can go back and see which one didn't work and then shift it.
And also you work with people in the book. I mean, the book addresses issues like addiction, trauma, depression, self-esteem. Can we talk a little bit about that, about self-esteem? It's a big issue.
We did a we've done three research on the awareness integration model. And two of them came up with the minimizing depression, 76%, minimizing anxiety, 64%, and raising self-esteem for 40%. And we've done another one, which the numbers are coming out.
What were the studies?
One study was with people in our clinic, which was actually done in therapy. Another one was done with the divorce group, which mm-hmm. was done as a workshop. And right now, the one that we've completed was done with Cal State Long Beach students it was 110 students in four classes for a whole semester. And those numbers are also astonishing. I don't have them yet. They haven't been published, but they'll be published in a couple of months. What I noticed is that we take ourselves everywhere, Lisa. So the way that we think of ourselves is who we are and what we take it to. We take that mm-hmm. outside and into the relationships. So it was very important for me, for us, every one of us, to have a true reality-based thought and emotion toward ourselves versus false identities that we create or falsehood, different ideas that we have about ourselves. That is just not true.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like I would think I'm ugly while everybody tells me I'm beautiful mm-hmm. or vice versa. Or mm-hmm. I think I have an amazing character while everybody's telling me, you know, you are really angry and you need to calm down. So sometimes the way that we think of ourselves is very different than the way we show it. So to have some sort of a reality-based idea about loving ourselves with all the strengths and loving ourselves with all of our gremlins.
Mm-hmm.
And that would create the self-esteem. And how to get there would be to be aware and then to integrate all of your parts and constantly work on yourself.
So it's integrating, again, it goes back to that theme of integrating your shadow, integrating your strengths, integrating your past and your potential, and having that be all of who you are.
Yes.
Without the multiple personalities. That would definitely. Now, you've also created your own television show, which people can see, and it is tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, I started my television show since 1996, and I've been on different shows. So part of the show is talking to other therapists and psychologists, prominent psychologists that are, in the United States, and those are in English. And then on Persian, I do a series that we talk about, for example, abuse or child rearing or parenting and all of that. So that has been on YouTube, so people can go to my YouTube channel and see all of that. Today I'm in GEM television station, which they have about 11 million followers across the world. And on that, right now I have two shows where one is like a daily show that I have different topics that we talk about. Another one, it's again interviews with different therapists, and we're creating two more shows, one for women and one for children. So I'm going to have four shows.
Fantastic. Yeah. So when you speak with or do the shows talking with the Persian community, are there issues that are specific when you talk with the Persian community? So if our listeners right now are in that community, they have specific issues that you'd like to address?
I think the immigration and acculturation process, mm-hmm. it's an important fact. And I think that if we're talking about the Iranians who are in Los Angeles or in the United States, we have one of the highest group of who have degrees, who are very, very successful community.
Huh.
And this community has been giving a lot to United States and people, Americans have given a lot back the same way my story was there. You know, Americans have given us a lot. So there's an appreciation of who we are as an immigrant population who we're here, because I think we're growing ourselves to our next level and we're growing this country to the next level together. So when all of the, stuff happens in the media about the Iran and Iranians, I think that we go through that ordeal of the duality again. I remember I was here at the hostage taking, and it was a horrifying experience when I was here, and I watched a lot of Iranians get beat up and burned and stabbed, and it was a traumatic experience. So this recent, you know, 2 months, it's been a little bit better of a bringing that kind of a trauma back. Is anything going to happen? Which it hasn't. And it's in some instances it has, but it hasn't been as the same way that it was at the time of the hostage taking. So I think that more knowing and being grateful about who we are and what we bring into this country, and then also appreciating, you know, what we get, we have here together, all of us with Americans.
It's an interesting part of your practice that might have kind of shifted to, are we safe in this country, especially if you're here in peace and you've been here for a long time and you've created degrees and jobs and so forth. Are you having to counsel people on that level to find out their level of safety or if they're relatives are safe in this country?
Some parts of it are safety, less in Los Angeles than other states.
Excellent.
But some parts of it are safety. Another part is just people not being able to travel around and see their families, and their families cannot come in. Mm-hmm. And some of the people have had jobs here and careers, and they've left and they didn't allow them to come back. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of fear-based and anxiety that has gotten created. But more than anything, I think there's a culture of politically incorrectness that has been allowed to now be out there just to say whatever you want to say, and it's okay to be rude and it's okay to be brutal to an immigrant just because, you know, you don't like them. But at one point, it wasn't okay to say those things. And now it just seems like there's an openness that I can say it because I hear it in media. I'm an American and I'm white,
right,
and I can say anything I want. So I think that's a shift that I've experienced throughout mm-hmm. all these years. You know, I moved to U.S. 1974. So I've watched a lot of different
trends.
Have
you heard about the comedian that created that incredible crowdfunding campaign?
Yeah, Monster Brownie.
Yeah,
he's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. So
he's a good friend.
I think the way to handle something like that is to call it out in the media.
Yeah.
Just like we're seeing with so many injustices that are happening. We just recently saw this with the whole, you know, with the United Airlines thing, and that we have people that are able to call out the injustices that are being done, yeah, even with corporations, and saying, hey, we have this, this is not something we're going to stand for. We're human beings at the end of the day.
Yeah, the transparency is working,
yes,
very well.
Yes.
That's maybe sometimes forced, but it brings out things which cannot be hidden for too long.
That's good. I mean, it works. And so you have a lot of different hats that you wear in terms of where you, how you help people and what you do. And how would people find your television show and more information about you?
Go into my website, foojan.com, foojan.com, and from there they can go to all the social media, the YouTube channel, and how to get to the television show. They can get the book.
Yeah.
Just be a part of whatever I do, and for me to offer whatever gift that I can give them.
You seem to do a lot. And what is your end goal with this? What is it that you hope to achieve with all of the radio and the books and the television, everything? What is the movement you're...
I think the grandiose idea mm-hmm. is for 7 or 1 billion people to really be aware, to know that they deserve to be happy.
That's why I named the show that.
Yeah, this
yes.
is exactly.
Yeah.
To they deserve to be happy, and that not only that they deserve, but they are responsible for it. They should be committed to it, and to give a voice to everyone that no matter what happens in your life, that you can create a life that is fulfilling and that you get excited and passionate about. And as long as you live, because someday we'll all die, but every day that we live, I'm responsible to create that day the best day that I've so far had.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are a living example of what it means to be resilient and to create beyond your circumstances and to act as if, and you're really a perfect example of that.
Thank you.
Yeah. I always say, see yourself the way that you want to be seen, and others will see you that way. Yeah, absolutely. I didn't say that. Somebody else said that. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity. It's been a joy to be with you and sit with you, and I'm glad you're in Los Angeles so I can actually be in the show with you.
Thanks for coming in studio, and that's the beauty of this, is that we get to have a chat, a very intimate, deep chat that other people get to partake or listen to and see themselves in you as well. And you've offered a lot of inspiration just by being vulnerable. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Dr. Fujian Zain is my guest. And you can look up her website at, is it drfujian.com?
It's Fujian.com.
Fujian, Foojan.com. Thank you. All right. We're going to take a quick break. And if that's okay with you, D'Angelo, and we'll be right back. This is Lisa Garr. You're listening to The Aware Show.